Good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So it is Pentecost. It's a time for the great feast of harvest. That's what Pentecost basically was. They would celebrate the May-June harvest. And we don't really get that because we don't really have a May-June. Of course, we do have strawberries, so maybe that's what we celebrate. But the fact of it is that these people were, this is one of the great three feasts that they would have in the children of Israel's time. So it was a very big moment that the whole brotherhood would come together. And so we're going to see a very powerful part of this where Christ is resurrected and he has empowered them. He had already breathed on them with the power of the Holy Spirit, and now we will see it take its effectual working in their lives. We're going to read from Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read from verses 1 through 21. You can remain seated. And we're going to read this in Jesus' name. The Acts of the Apostles, beginning with chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And it divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and they were astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judah, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Persia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted his voice, and he addressed them, "Men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on the male servants and the female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show the wonders in the heavens above and the signs in the earth below, blood, fire, vapor, smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes in that great, magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you allow this word to work in our lives. It is a living and effectual word, not an ancient history, but rather, Father, a living word. We don't worship a far gone Christ. We worship a living Christ who is victorious over hell, death, and the devil for our benefit. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us in this word, that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're coming to the point where the church has to get up and start doing something. See, this is something that we maybe not have spent a lot of time on thinking about. But the fact of it is that all these individuals, 11 of them, but now there's 12 because now they just brought Matthias in. But the fact of it is there was 11 of them in this crowd that walked with Jesus the whole time. 3 years they spent with him, and they watched the effects of his ministry just do amazing things throughout this area. Matthias did travel with them. That was part of the requirement, that he had to be there for the baptism. He had to be there for following Jesus all the way up to the crucifixion. So he knew what was going on. See, they didn't just take Joe Schmo off the streets, who had no idea what was going on. They had a process. You can read about this in chapter 1. But the fact of it is, now there is 12 of them. And these individuals now have a duty to fulfill. And it sounds kind of works righteousness, but whatever. There's a mission to be completed. But they are not to do this mission on their own. And that's one of the beauties of the kingdom of God. We don't act, we don't move only on our own will or ability. As believers in Jesus Christ, we turn and we actually act and move in the power of the Holy Spirit. That God would give us this ability. Now, I'm not saying it's always worked out that way. There have been times where man have taken things on their own terms and done it in their own way, and generally that backfires. But when you watch a congregation or you watch the body of Christ moving forward in the power of the Holy Spirit, generally what we see happen there is miracles. We call them miracles. To God, they're ordinary. They're average. That's what he does. But the fact of it is, now they have to actually start going about and doing the position. So the Acts of the Apostles is really what we call the church moving forward. So now they're all gathered together. They're there for the Feast of Pentecost, which, as I said earlier, is actually one of the three feasts that they really recognize. And this is to give thanks for the provision of God. That's what we're doing here today. We come here today in the Spirit of God, I pray, with the thankfulness what he has provided for us. And we come here today to recognize the coming of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't mean just because we recognize it today, it's just showing up. But we pay tribute to what God has done for each and every one of us. And we come here with a thankfulness for the harvest that he has provided. Our lives are full of harvest. They may be our children. They may be our means. They may be our opportunities. They may be the grace. It may be all kinds of things in our life. But they are attributed to the goodness of God in our life. Have you found a significant other? Have you found the love of your life? Are they spiritually bonded with you and matching with you? That's a gift of God. Have you been provided for? Do you have enough sustenance? Do you feel that you have adequate accommodations? Do you feel that even what you wear is good? To me, that's a blessing of God. Do you have a meaningful career? Do you have what you like in life as far as moving forward? That is still a blessing of God. It's not only a blessing of God in just the spiritual matters. That is very important. The redemption of Jesus Christ. There's nothing to compare with that. But may we never forget even all the earthly blessings that we have of God. And that's what they were doing. They were coming together to thank the Lord for their harvest of the year. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to take time in our lives for the same. To be thankful for what we have received. To be thankful for the sustenance that we've taken, whether it be health, whether it be monetary, whether it be material, whether it be spiritual. God has provided. So they came together. And it says that they were all together in one place. And then it says that there was this sound, this rushing sound of a great wind that entered into the midst. And there was this imagery, if you could say, of fiery flames on the shoulders, showing this blessing. I want to say even showing this cleansing that was taking place. That the power of the Holy Spirit was now becoming effectual in them. See, God desires to pour his Spirit on all flesh. It even says that in this text. But it doesn't always mean that it's going to be well received, if I could say it in that way. And the way I say it is, there's an opportunity for salvation for each and every one by grace through faith. But it doesn't mean that everybody is going to receive it. You know, I'll be honest with you. When I first got involved in the understanding of Christianity, it was brought to me through an individual on the East Coast who had such a loving and a kind spirit. There's no doubt about it. This man will always be in my mind as one that God allowed the word to come through. But when he shared that word with me, when it was, I was probably in a bad spot in my life, and he came out of love and respect, and he shared that word with me, it really did not take effect for probably another year or two. He planted that seed, but, you know, Jesse had some pretty hard ground. See, God is the one to give the increase. And when I think about it, this individual shared this word, and then there were other individuals around me at work that would water. So the seed was planted, then there was watering. And finally, it's almost like, you know, the ground was watered enough that that old, hard, crusty earth could split open, and there came this fruit. See, brothers and sisters in Christ, God gives his grace. God pours it out. But in reality, through his servants, there's no doubt about it, but he is the one to give the increase. And sometimes, we got to be patient. Patience is not, you know, as you can see today, I'm not a patient guy. When something's happening, I want it done. That's not always the answer. I'm not saying I'm right. When we're ministering to people, there's a process that God allows to take place, and we need to be patient. We have a tendency, or at least I do, to gauge people with the yardstick of my ears. When I turn around and see where I am, I expect that next person to be right there. That's not how we operate. God gives the increase. So they were all in this one place together. And now it said that it was this rush. And so there's this outward appearance of the Holy Spirit entering in. And it says, and they were filled, the entire house and all that were sitting. And there was this divided tongues of fire that appeared on each and every one of them. And then it says very plainly, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They needed this. See, Peter's bold. There's no doubt about it. But remember, Peter also was the one that denied Christ three times. That was in his flesh. I'm no different left to my own devices. They couldn't do this of their own accord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we can't enter onto this world and minister to a world only in our own will, in our own understandings, in our own ways. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are equipped to enter into a world and bring it such foreign and good news. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so this is like a very powerful time in the scripture. And so it says when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it gave them utterance. They were speaking, not gibberish. See, this is where I think it's extremely important. Our God is a God of order. Our God, in reality, is not trying to hide things from people. It says they spoke in an utterance, but of other tongues. And then it gets to be real interesting. Because God wants his word to enter out into this world. He wants it to be able to approach and reach so many people. He really does. We're given an indication by Luke, as he's the author of Acts. He says, now there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews devout from every nation. And this is the understanding he wants you to see. It's not just those from Israel itself. He says, they were all kinds of surrounding areas, for maybe economic, maybe for business, for family. I don't know why they were in other places, but they were. And it says, when they heard this utterance, and that's really what it's speaking about. It could be inclusive of the wind rushing. I don't know, because that'd get your attention. But it's all of a sudden the word on the streets is, there's these guys, and they have this presence of like a fire on them, and they have this ability to speak in different languages. Who wouldn't want to go see that? So it says they started to come around, and at the sound, the multitude came together, and actually they were all shocked. They were all shocked. It doesn't say that they were scared. Doesn't say that they were so confused. It says really they were bewildered. They couldn't figure out how this was happening. Why? Because there were these crazy guys up there blabbering? And no one knew what they were saying?
Paul says in a different part of the scripture, he says, I would rather be able to speak one word that someone would understand than 5,000 that people don't understand. And I'm not saying it's not the gift of the tongues. I don't understand it. I don't seem to have it, that's for sure. But it's not a trick. It's not a game. There can be this language between a believer and God the Father, there's no doubt about it, by the power of the Holy Spirit, but I don't have any claim to understand that. But in this example that we have here, they heard the word of God in what? Their own language. This means there was no division. That they could hear directly from God the Father of exactly what he had for them. And this, to me, is one of the most beautiful things of Scripture. See, there may be things that don't mean much to you or to you, but may mean a lot to them or to him or to her. God knows how to meet each and every one of us where we need to be met. We see those on the traveling on the road to Emmaus, and they were so downtrodden. They were so brokenhearted over what took place with the crucifixion of Christ. And they were confused by it because they really believed, even as they tell Jesus when he's incognito, we believed he was going to be the one to save us. Somebody licked all the frosting off their cupcake and they were sad. But the fact of it is, truly, God didn't want to leave them in them straits. He wanted them to be encouraged and to allow them to know he knew exactly what they were going through, and there was a hope. And it says even in that text that in the breaking of bread, Christ was revealed. God wants his word to be known. He wants you to be comforted, and he wants you to be encouraged. Yes, he wants you to be straightened out, I guess. That's his job, not mine. That we would learn. So really what they're saying here is everybody heard it for themselves in their own language. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's not a barrier that will stop our God if we desire to hear his word. Governments can't do it. Denominations can't do it. Nobody can stop it in reality. The more they try, even as the Pharisee said, the more we try to stop Jesus, the whole world goes after him. Because God desires for relationship with you and I. He desires for us to know his truth. He is God, I am not. And he can do that work. So it says they heard it all in their own language. And they were amazed and they were astonished. And they actually started asking, who are these individuals? They knew who they were. But what they're saying is, we know whose boys and girls they are. We know whose boy he is. We know where they come from. They come from all different parts of this area. But yet, we hear them in our own language. God was communicating. It wasn't Peter in himself. God was utilizing Peter. If you have a question for God, if you have a question for the Lord, I believe he can deliver the answer to you. I believe we just have to ask him. Ask him. Sometimes we're a little slow on the uptake. Jesse's very bad at that. He's very slow on the uptake, you know. I'll be like, you know, you've heard the joke about the guy on his roof, right, during the flood, and I hate to go through the whole thing, but, you know, they go by first and they start telling people, hey, you got to get out of your houses, and the guy's like, there's a flood coming through, the Army Corps is going through, no, you got to get out, no, I'm okay, God will save me, and then you know the next step, right, then they come through with a boat, you got to get out of your house, no, God will save me, then they come with a helicopter, and, Kyle, you got to get out of your house, no, God will save me, then he dies. He gets to heaven and they turn around and he says, God, I thought you were going to save me. He says, well, I sent you some people. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. What more do you want? Do we ask him? And do we hear when he speaks to us? Do we trust that his ways are above our ways? Jesse fails at this as a human. He does because he thinks he can control. He can do. This is where he says surrender. God has a message. He has words to share with us, and he will do it if we but open our ears, if we would but listen to him. And so he comes across in this way, and it says they all heard him speak in their own language, no matter where they come from. And he says, doesn't matter if they were born into the Israelite religion or not. Basically, if they were there to hear, God would deliver it. And then they turn around, and they can't explain this, can they? They're trying to figure out, how does this happen? They couldn't deny it. But then they come up with this grand idea, and this is like human beings, right? Well, they're drunk. I don't know where they got that one from. To me, that's kind of interesting. How, when you're drunk, do you get to speak a different language that people can understand you? The only thing I could closely relate is if that someone came along and started speaking a language that I didn't know at all, I'd think, well, they're making no sense. But to the person that could hear it and understand it, it made sense. But they try to come up with an explanation, and we do that often in our lives. We try to come up with explanations of why something shouldn't work or something should work. We go through that process. So they come up with, well, they got to be drunk. There, done, right? Sadly, no. But see, this comes down to the fact where now Peter is to, in the spirit, stand up and be bold. And basically all he does is speak about the harshness of what they're saying. Peter standing up with the 11, understanding now Peter, being very bold in the power of the Holy Spirit, has the ability to address all these individuals. So he lifts up his voice and he addresses them. He says, men of Judea and all that dwell in the area of Jerusalem, he says, let it be known to you and give audience to my words. In other words, listen to me. Listen to me. These people are not intoxicated. Why are you going to the fact of trying to deny something? Because you don't understand it. But isn't that what we often do as human beings? When we don't understand something, we try to find a reason. Remember the man that was born blind, the chapter 9 of the Gospel of John? When they couldn't come up with an answer, they finally start saying, well, you say he was born blind. They already start questioning that. This is human beings' defense mechanism. When they can't understand something, they try to discredit it. Peter says, don't be crazy. These guys are not drunk. He said, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, it's only the third hour of the day. Do you not believe what God had shared with you in the Old Testament? Do you not believe the words of your father as he told you this stuff would take place? And that's really what it comes down to. Are you now willing to write all that off? God told you through the prophet Joel exactly what would take place. And all of this has taken place. And it's interesting because we get to the point and we say, well, did it really? Yes, it actually all did. Go back and read in your scriptures about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And you will find in reality that all of these things took place. That there was those that were preaching, those that were teaching all throughout. And you'll find out that actually the dead did rise. And we will actually see that the sky was turned dark. We know that the veil in the temple was rent in two. All of this stuff took place. And really what he is saying, Peter, is don't you believe even your ancient words that you count on? Are you willing to write all of the history off because you don't understand something now? Same question comes to us. Do we trust God with our lives now? Do we trust God that he is our provision and that he will continue to take care of us? And do we trust, just because some pastor gets up there and says, well, you got to hear him. How do we hear him? I believe we hear him through his word. He uses the Spirit to speak to us in and through his word, not just for 28 minutes. I don't have a clock, but if I had one, but I can point at that one. 28 minutes on a Sunday morning. Do we hear him through his word? Monday through Sunday, during the week. We have so much access to hearing our God speak to us. But we're so busy on Facebook and TikTok and whatever else it may be. We're so busy on watching Fox and CNN and Onan and Newsmax. We're so busy and trying to keep track of our stock markets and cash apps and Bitcoin, Dogecoin, all this other. We're so busy in all this stuff. Do we hear our God speak to us, and do we allow his living word that comes back to the beginning of this message? We do not worship a historical Christ. We worship a living Christ. We worship a living God who speaks not through a dead and old word, but a living word full of his Spirit. We come here today to take recognition of God has dwelt among us and within us by grace through faith, that we have this gift. So, Pastor, how do we hear him? You hear him by being in the presence of his word. You hear him not by trusting just only what I say, but actually taking this, opening it up, and reading it. You hear him by taking that little square thing that we spend more time looking at, and you actually put a Bible going and listen to it while you're walking, while you're running, while you're praying, while you're frustrated, while you're happy. You listen to that word and ask God, reveal yourself so that I also can be equipped to enter into a world and speak a language that no one understands. We sit here thinking about Spanish, German, whatever it may be, Finnish. The language of God with love, forgiveness, and restoration, healing. That is a language that this world doesn't remember. I don't care what dialect you say it in. It is same and true in every dialect. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him he would be saved. That's the language of love. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we hear him. Hear him through his word. Hear him through his preaching. Hear him through his Spirit. Hear him, for he has spoken. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you that you have spoken even in the ancient days. But Father, your words are not done. They continue to speak each and every day through your body, and we ask that you would continually encourage us in and through that word. Allow each and every one of us to take 5 minutes a day to listen to your word. Allow it to speak to us. Oh, Father, we'd take much more than 5 minutes if we could, but if we could even do 5 minutes, it would be wonderful. Allow that word to be effectual. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.